That Kind of Day by Neary, read by Kath. Carolyn was having one of those days. With the cleanup still going on, the metro was under even more construction than usual, and it wasn't just the Red Line running late this time either. It shouldn't have mattered. No one got to work on time these days, except her supervisor had gone fucking nuclear about it, which wasn't like him. Turned out his shitty mood wasn't just the general funk the whole city had been caught up in for the last 3 weeks either. The whole Hydra clusterfuck had shaken up more government agencies than just SHIELD, and their funding was almost certainly getting cut. None of them had been in the greatest state of mind after that announcement, and they'd collectively fucked up an experiment they'd been working on for a week. And now, the bank had sent her yet another letter about fucking Dave's goddamn truck. She didn't even need to open it to know what it said. Overdue, collections, monthly payments, which she couldn't fucking pay on her PhD stipend. Especially now that she'd also have to scrape up enough money for a beater, because the goddamn truck had gotten stolen from the goddamn mall parking lot. "You won't have to pay a cent," Dave had said. "We just need to put the loan in your name because your credit's better than mine." Fucking Dave. What an idiot she'd been. She bit her lip hard. If she broke into tears in the stairwell, Mrs. Pierce was going to make her answer concerned questions, and she just couldn't right now. It was the kind of day where you kept thinking, it can't get any worse, knowing perfectly well it always can. She opened her door slowly, halfway expecting to find cat puke on the floor, or possibly the washer flooding the kitchen. She wasn't expecting to find a man with a gun sitting in her armchair. "Oh, God," she said. "Don't scream," she thought. "Screaming's gonna get you killed." Anything might get her killed. It was the guy from the news, the Winter Soldier guy, the one who'd shut up all those cars on the highway overpass. He wasn't wearing the mask or the combat gear now, but he had that unmistakable metal hand sticking out of the sleeve of his hoodie. He was pointing the gun straight at her chest. "Close the door. Lock it," he said. He was surprisingly soft-spoken for a cybernetically enhanced killer. But then you probably didn't need to yell at people much when you were holding a giant gun in their face. "Oh, God," she said again. She fumbled the door shut behind her. "Please, you can take whatever you want. I won't... Please don't shoot me." She was crying now. She couldn't help it. She tried to keep it down, tried not to set him off. "Sit down," the Winter Soldier said, gesturing towards one of her kitchen chairs with the hand holding the gun. She flinched. "I'm not going to hurt you," he said. Well, that was good, wasn't it? Fuck, he probably said that to all of his victims. She sat down, very slowly, trying not to make any sudden moves. She could have tried running, she thought belatedly. Except, where would she have run to? He'd be faster going down the stairs than she'd be, and while she could maybe barricade herself in the bathroom, he could probably shoot her through the door with that gun. He could probably shoot her through the walls. It was a big gun. "What do you want?" she asked. "I'm waiting for someone," he said. She waited, but he didn't say anything more. He just sat there, watching her. His eyes were cold and hard as glass. Carolyn was silent for a minute afterwards, because you didn't argue with a crazy killer pointing a gun at you, right? But still, "I think, maybe you've got the wrong apartment?" She flinched, squeezing her eyes shut when his gun hand moved. He was just switching his grip, though. He had the gun pointed at her stomach now, and his elbow braced on the armchair as if he intended to stay that way for a while. Waiting for someone. In her goddamn apartment. What the hell? She really didn't want to upset him, but... "I'm not working for SHIELD or anything. I'm doing a PhD in biochem, I live alone. No one interesting ever comes here. I mean, I don't get visitors, really. Mrs. Pierce brings over cookies sometimes. Her voice was rising with a growing nervousness. Wait, oh God. Was this about fucking Dave again? If one of his coke dealer friends had gotten involved in something. Dave, my ex-boyfriend, he moved out weeks ago. He's not gonna be back. The Winter Soldier was shaking his head. I'm waiting for Captain America, he said. I don't know him. He's not... He'll be here, the Winter Soldier said, in a tone of total certainty. And that was that, apparently. She shut her mouth. He was going to have to realize at some point that Captain America wouldn't be coming. And when he got tired of waiting, he'd probably shoot her. Every three-letter agency in the country was looking for him. He couldn't afford to leave witnesses behind. Oh, great. Now she was crying again. She pressed her hands over her mouth and tried to concentrate on keeping it down. Sorry, she whispered. Sorry. He watched her with his crazy killer eyes, his face unreadable. I won't hurt you, he said again. It helped a little, even if she didn't actually believe him. Even if he was probably just saying that so she wouldn't panic and do something stupid. He'd mowed down a dozen cars on that overpass to get to Captain America. He clearly didn't care about collateral damage. After a while, he lowered the gun he'd been pointing at her, laying it across his thighs. That helped too, although she knew that if she tried to run, he could have it back up and pointing at her before she could as much as get up from the chair. They sat that way for what felt like an eternity, neither of them moving. The clock above the stove slowly ticked forward. 10 minutes. 30. 45. And she was finding out that even mortal terror got old after a while. She'd known that intellectually, of course. The human body couldn't maintain that level of stress without any new stimulus. The epinephrine level sank. The parasympathetic nervous system kicked in. It had never been more than diagrams to her, before. But now a part of her was watching herself going through it, with strangely detached scientific interest. Oh, she was scared still, scared out of her mind. But the blinding, unthinking, pants-pissing panic was slowly abating. He looked terrible, she realized. Now that she could look at him and see more than just the muzzle of that oversized gun pointing at her. Worse than he'd looked in all that cell phone footage of Captain America wailing on him. There were deep, sickly shadows beneath his eyes, 2 weeks' worth of unkempt stubble on his face, and his hair was lank and matted. His hoodie was frayed and dirty. The pinky finger on his metal hand stayed awkwardly curled inward, no matter what the rest of the hand was doing. And sometimes his elbow made a harsh, grinding sound when he moved. He looked badly in need of a shower, a proper meal, a good night's sleep. 2 weeks' worth of meals and sleep, really. Medical attention and, well, whatever you called medical attention for robot arms. Maintenance, she supposed. They kept sitting there. The clock kept ticking. An hour. An hour 15. Tiffany wandered out of Carolyn's bedroom, and her breath caught in her chest. Tiff was walking straight towards him, with a cat's unerring instinct for people who really wouldn't enjoy being bothered by a cat. She sniffed his leg, curious. Curiosity was going to get her fucking cat killed. "Don't," Carolyn said helplessly, seeing it coming, and then the goddamn stupid cat jumped straight into his lap. "Please don't hurt her. Please," she said, her voice hitching. He grabbed Tiff around the stomach with his metal hand. He'd punched right through the side of a car with that hand. If he wanted, he could crush Tiff between his fingers, like a bug. Carolyn couldn't breathe. If he killed Tiff, she was going to scream and scream, and he was going to shoot her. "It's all right," he said. And then he set Tiff gently down on the floor. "Thank you," Carolyn whispered, breathless. She wiped her face with the back of her hand, closed her eyes. Tiff was walking back to the bedroom, insulted by the lack of attention. Carolyn was trembling all over. The clock kept ticking. 1:30, 2 hours. He watched her with no hint of impatience. The news had said he was a sniper. That's what snipers did, wasn't it? Sit around and wait until someone showed up to be killed. Well, Carolyn wasn't a fucking sniper. There was a pressure building up in her chest with each moment they were sitting there, her muscles twitching with unspent adrenaline, and she thought she was going to go insane if she had to sit there without moving for one more second. "Can I make some tea?" she finally said, her voice too loud in the silence. "I'm not going to do anything, I swear, but can I please just put the kettle on? Please?" He didn't say anything, but after a moment gave her a slight nod. "So I'm going to take that as a yes, okay?" she said, getting slowly, slowly to her feet. "Please don't shoot." He didn't shoot. He just kept watching her, shifting slightly to keep her in his sights while she made the slowest, most careful cup of tea in the history of mankind, trying her hardest not to make any sudden movements. She put the kettle on, took down 2 cups, and paused, looking down at the cup sitting side by side on the countertop. What? Like he was some guest she was having over for tea? But, well, 2 cups was what you did when you had company. And the part of her that wasn't busy quivering in terror was apparently operating on autopilot. The water wasn't even beginning to boil yet, and she couldn't bear to sit back down. She walked over to the fridge and pulled out the sandwich fixings. "Look, I didn't even have any goddamn lunch," she said, half apologetic, half defiant. He didn't try and stop her, not even when she took the knife out of the drawer. And really, what was she going to do with a knife, except for slicing bread? He had a gun. He had a metal fucking arm. He probably had Hydra super assassin training. And fucking Dave had taken her whetstone with him when he left, so her knife hadn't even been sharpened in 6 weeks. She piled on ham and cheese and salad and tomatoes, and then more ham and cheese, because she hadn't had lunch, and she'd spent the last 5 years of her life dieting on and off, and now she was going to get shot by a crazy serial killer before ever managing to fit into that size 4 dress Dave had bought her for inspiration. And then, when she was done, she made a second sandwich, because he looked like a man who could use one, and hell, she was already making him tea. She didn't think he'd actually eat it, mind. But maybe the gesture would make him less likely to shoot her. Or, like, feel slightly bad about it after, she thought bitterly. She poured the tea, green tea, which was supposed to be calming. Still moving very slowly, she set his mug and sandwich down at the edge of the coffee table, halfway between her kitchen chair and where he was sitting, as close as she dared to come to him. "In case you, want something," she said, feeling stupid. Except after a moment, he did actually get up to take the food. He sat back down, balancing the cup of tea on the arm of the chair, and then they had sandwiches together, her and the insane Hydra assassin who was probably going to kill her. He ate fast, taking big bites and chewing mechanically, and she got the impression more of someone refueling than someone enjoying a meal. But he still looked a little better after, a little of the tension in his face smoothing out. He leaned back in the armchair with a cup of tea cradled in his metal hand. "Are you going to kill him?" she said abruptly. "Captain America?" Not that it mattered much, since Captain America wasn't actually going to come to her apartment. But maybe she should warn him, in the unlikely event she got out of this alive. "That was the mission," the Winter Soldier said quietly. He was looking down at his cup of tea. Now that he wasn't quite so tense anymore, he looked exhausted, worn down to the bone. And then the doorbell rang. He sat upright, the cup of tea tumbling forgotten to the carpet, the gun pointing at her stomach again. "Open it," he said. His entire body was straining towards the door, something eager in his posture, in his hard, glassy eyes. Oh, God, oh, crap. The mortal terror was back, and the sandwich was a queasy lump in her stomach. "It's going to be Mrs. Pierce," she said. "I told you she brings me cookies sometimes. Listen, she's really old and really short-sighted, so if you just stay there and let me talk to her, she won't ever know you're here, okay? You won't have to do anything. Please, don't do anything." Oh, God, he was going to kill poor old Mrs. Pierce, and she just sat there, useless. She'd made him a goddamn sandwich, and now he was going to kill her neighbor. "Open it," he said again, harshly, gesturing with a gun. Her hands were shaking. She opened the door slowly, trying to block the view into the apartment with her body. Maybe if Mrs. Pierce didn't notice him, he wouldn't... "Oh," she said. It was Captain America. He wasn't wearing the uniform, but you couldn't mistake Captain America, not even in jeans and a leather jacket. Oh, thank God. The wave of relief was so enormous it nearly left her nauseous. Cap was here, and things were going to be okay. Except he didn't look so much like a rescue squad. He wasn't wearing the uniform, and although he had some sort of oversized backpack that might possibly contain the shield, he didn't actually look combat ready in any way. "Miss Carolyn Brown," he said, holding his hand out for her to shake with a friendly smile. Something vaguely apologetic in his face, as if he knew it was a weird thing to do, showing up on people's doorstep being Captain America. "Steve Rogers," he said, although she suspected the look on her face probably made it amply clear that she'd recognized him. She liked that, she thought, that he didn't just assume he was so famous everyone had to recognize him instantly. He seemed like a really nice guy, and he seemed to have no idea whatsoever there was an ambush waiting for him in her living room. If he moved any closer, the Winter Soldier would have the perfect angle to put a bullet in Cap's head before he even knew he was here. Maybe he'd leave her alone after, she thought, for a horrible, selfish second. Maybe he didn't care about witnesses. He hadn't cared about witnesses on the overpass, had he? But Captain America would be dead, and it would be her fault. "Run! He's going to kill you!" Carol's voice broke halfway through. Her muscles were tightened, cramping all along her spine, helplessly, as if that would protect her from the bullet she knew was coming. She was going to die, and her mom was going to take it so very badly. Cap grabbed her by the arm, hard enough to bruise, and yanked her behind him. His shield appeared from his backpack as if by magic, and she was behind him, and he was behind his shield, and she was still alive. She was still alive. Cap took a slow, careful step into her apartment. Carolyn followed him in, reluctantly, because she didn't want to come out from behind the shelter of his shield. And then Cap saw the man sitting in her armchair and froze. "Bucky," he said, in a low, tentative voice. Carolyn stared at him. "Bucky? As in Bucky Barnes? Captain America's dead sidekick?" She looked at the Winter Soldier again. He did sort of look like Bucky, if you squinted. But that was ridiculous. Bucky would be like 90 now, if he had somehow survived that fall from the train. Sometimes people looked like other people. It happened. There was a whole website full of lesbians who looked more like Justin Bieber than the Winter Soldier looked like Bucky Barnes. Except from that soft, desperate, hopeful tone in Cap's voice, he really seemed like a guy who thought he'd found a long-lost friend. And the Winter Soldier wasn't attacking. He was just sitting there, gun in his hand, looking at the captain. "Let me just get Miss Brown out of here, and then we can..." Cap started. "No, no police," the Winter Soldier said.
I promise not to call the police if you let me go," Carolyn said, with no real hope that it would do much good. Hell, who would she even call? Who would believe her? This was the kind of situation you called S.H.I.E.L.D. about, but S.H.I.E.L.D. was gone. Neither of them was paying any attention to her in any case. They were watching each other, barely blinking.
"Whatever you want, Bucky," Cap said. Then he turned around slowly, as if it cost him physical effort to look away from the Winter Soldier, and pushed his shield into her arms. "You just sit down right over there, okay? I won't let anything happen to you." He
he said in the warm, reassuring tone she recognized from his old movies. It worked. It was impossible to mistrust that voice. So that's what she did, sitting down on the floor in the farthest corner of her kitchen, as far away from the line of fire as she could get in her apartment. She curled up behind his shield, making herself as small as she could. Captain America's shield. He'd given her his shield. "Why are you here?" Cap asked the Winter Soldier, still in that soft, gentle voice, like someone trying not to frighten off a skittish animal.
"I figured you'd come alone," the Winter Soldier said. "You haven't been alone much lately."
Cap actually looked stricken at that, as if he was somehow hearing that as something other than, "I wanted to get you alone so I could kill you better."
You know you could have come to me any time, right? You could have sent a message," he said.
He was inching closer, one slow, careful step at a time, until, when he was maybe 4 more steps away, the Winter Soldier tensed up, lifting the gun a little higher. Cap stopped.
"Okay, that's fine. I won't come any closer if you don't want me to. Just tell me what you need, Bucky, okay?"
he said, and then he sat down, open and defenseless, his legs folded beneath him and his arms by his side.
"Are you okay?" he asked,
and she could see him taking in all the things she'd noticed herself. The animal weariness, the obvious exhaustion, the dirt, and the broken metal fingers. Cap didn't look so hot himself, she realized. He seemed as strained and tired as the Winter Soldier did, in his own well-kempt sort of way. Well, if it was true about the Winter Soldier being Bucky Barnes, if that really was Cap's best friend, the guy he'd thought he'd lost forever, returned from the dead to work for the enemy, now that would fuck you up, wouldn't it? Even if you were Captain America. The Winter Soldier didn't answer. Cap slid a little closer still, without getting up from the floor, until the Winter Soldier tensed up again, and he went still.
"Did you remember?" Cap asked, gently.
"Some," the Winter Soldier said. He hunched his shoulders in, both of them, the metal one too, and it made that awful grinding sound in the joint again. Cap winced.
"Are you okay?" he said again.
"Did they tell you?" the Winter Soldier said, instead of an answer.
"They tell you what I've done?"
Cap had been there when he'd been shooting up the overpass. People had died that day. With a shudder, Carolyn wondered what he'd done that was worse than that. More of the same, she supposed. But whatever he'd done, Cap didn't seem to blame him for it. His face was nothing but kind and sad.
"Yes," he said. "It doesn't matter, Bucky. None of that was you."
"Sure it was," the Winter Soldier said. He didn't have the gun pointed at the captain anymore, Carolyn realized. He was fidgeting, she supposed, turning it idly round and round, until it finally came to rest with the muzzle pointing at his own chest. Captain America went very still, and then slowly crept closer again, still down on the floor.
"Give me that gun, Bucky," he said.
Another foot closer, and another, and the Winter Soldier was pointing the gun at him again, but his hand was shaking now, his face tight and miserable, with some horrible inner tension. Cap put a hand on his wrist, gentle, slow, pushing it carefully down, taking the gun from his unresisting fingers. "It's okay," he was saying. "It's okay. You're gonna be all right. Everything is gonna be all right." The Winter Soldier looked down at his empty hand. He looked relieved almost, resigned, like whatever was going to happen now wasn't in his hands anymore, and he was grateful for it. Cap got up on his knees, reaching for him, and the Winter Soldier flinched hard, but he wasn't resisting. But Cap wasn't attacking. He was putting his arms around the Winter Soldier, pulling him into a hard hug. The Winter Soldier. Bucky, Christ, the Winter Soldier was Bucky Barnes. What had happened to him? Lifted the metal hand in an abortive defensive motion, let it drop again. He held himself frozen and still for long seconds, and then he clenched both hands in the back of Cap's jacket, so suddenly that Carolyn at first thought he was trying to fight after all. But he wasn't. He was holding on, the leather crumpling beneath his fingers. Both men were shaking now, clinging to each other. Finally, Cap pulled back, one hand still clutching Bucky by the shoulder, as if he might disappear if he stopped touching him. "Come home with me," he said. "They're going to put me in cryo again," Bucky said, in a soft, flat voice. Carolyn blinked. "Cryo?" Cap recoiled. "No, Bucky, no, it's not. It's just us. Me and Sam and Black Widow. Natasha, you remember Natasha. Maybe Stark, if you want someone to take a look at your arm. No one's going to do anything to you, okay?" "Okay," Bucky said. He closed his eyes for a long moment, then looked down. Surrender. She didn't think he actually trusted Cap's reassurances. He'd given up. Submitted to whatever Cap wanted to do to him. From the pained expression on Cap's face, she thought he realized that too. Cap got slowly to his feet, gave Bucky a hand up, and then kept that hand wrapped loosely around his wrist. It wasn't meant as a restraint, she was pretty sure, and wondered whether Bucky realized that. "We'll be leaving now," Cap said, giving her a shadow of that friendly, apologetic smile he'd had at her door earlier. "I'm very sorry, miss," he added, "and, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't call the police about this, although I understand if you feel you need to." She didn't answer, just peeled herself awkwardly off the floor and held out his shield. He took it distractedly, most of his attention still on Bucky. Then Bucky turned to her, too. "I'm sorry," he said, unexpectedly. "That's all right," she said automatically, "because that's what you said when someone apologized to you." Bucky startled a little, one corner of his mouth quirking up into a faint, crooked shadow of a smile. And then they left, and she closed the door behind them and locked it and put the chain on and turned the key again just to make sure it really was firmly locked. She put the used dishes in the dishwasher, numbly, her hands shaking so badly the cups clattered together. And then she lay down on her sofa and buried her face in the cushions just in case the screams she'd been stifling the entire time wanted to come out now. But there was nothing left but a few dry sobs. Not even tears. And then, even those were over, and she was just lying there, watching the door. She ought to call the police, she thought. Except Cap had asked her not to. And if you couldn't trust Captain America, then whom could you trust? Not government agencies, anyway, as the last couple of weeks had shown. So after a while, she got up and made herself another cup of tea and drank it while watching a Star Trek rerun and sobbed a bit more, hysterically, Tiffany clutched in her lap. "They going to put me in cryo again?" Bucky had said. "They? Hydra?" Christ, someone had got cryo freeze working? Holy shit, how badly did she want a tour of that lab? Except she really didn't, she realized, thinking of the haunted look in Bucky's eyes. "Did you remember?" Cap had asked him. Yeah, that was always the problem with cryo, wasn't it? Getting the subject back out of it with their mind still intact. But then, if that really had been Hydra, they probably hadn't worried too much about preserving the man Bucky Barnes had been. Tiff was making grumbling sounds in her arms, beginning to lose her patience with the death grip Carolyn had on her. "Deal with it. I had a shitty day," Carolyn said, her voice breaking, and then she was sobbing again. Tiff watched her, narrow-eyed, judgmental. Somehow that made it easier to pull herself together. Strangely, life went on. She didn't sleep much that first night, but she got up and went to work anyway. The funding situation was getting worse, so she was probably going to lose her job. And she didn't actually want to look at her credit rating anymore. But she wasn't dead, and while she might have lost contact with her childhood best friend, at least Sophie hadn't shown up to try and kill her either. It put things into perspective. Life went on, and if it wasn't for the green tea stain next to the armchair that refused to come out of the carpet, bye-bye security deposit, she might have wondered whether she'd imagined that whole crazy evening. Then she came home from work 3 days later, and Captain America was sitting on the stairs in front of her apartment. "Holy shit," she said, clutching her back to her chest defensively. He held up his hands. "Sorry for startling you, ma'am," he said. She lowered her voice. "Is he in there?" she whispered. Cap looked surprised, quickly shaking his head. "Just me," he said. "Well, come on in, then. You wouldn't believe how my neighbors gossip," she said, ushering him in. What the fuck was happening to her life? Were there going to be superheroes randomly showing up at her apartment on the regular now? Did she need to check the fire escape for Iron Man? "What can I do for you? Sit down. Would you like some tea?" "That's very kind of you, but please don't go to any trouble," Cap said, shifting awkwardly on his feet. "I'm so sorry. Here," he said, pressing something into her hand. She looked down. It was a check. "I'm so sorry about your truck." "My truck?" she said. "We were going to return it, but with the explosion, I'm really sorry," he repeated, and now he looked bashful. "I don't understand," she said, giving up. "That's why I was coming here 3 days ago, to give you that and apologize for the truck, because we were only going to borrow it, but then it got, well, blown up. I'm so sorry." He gave her a sheepish little smile, and her brain still wasn't tracking right, but she thought she was beginning to get it now. "You stole my truck," she said. "Captain America stole my fucking truck." "Borrowed," he said quickly. "I mean," he looked helplessly down at the check in her hands. "I hope it's enough for the truck. I'm really very sorry," he said, rubbing the back of his neck, grimacing. "That's why you were coming here," she said slowly. "You were going to give me a check for the truck which you stole, and he knew, and..." And that's how she'd ended up with an assassin in her living room. "Yes," Captain America said. "I'm sorry." "So you said," she said absentmindedly, and then she looked down at the check again, properly this time. "This is too much," she said. She knew exactly what the truck had been worth, because she'd also known, down to the cent, exactly how much more than that she still owed the bank. She also knew what it had been worth brand new, and this was more than even that, plenty more. She could pay off the loan and get herself a whole new goddamn truck for that if she wanted. Not that she did. She could get the carpet fixed and get herself a nice used little Honda and pay back the money she owed her mom and... But you couldn't be dishonest to Captain America. That was just wrong. "It wasn't worth that much," she said. "There's also a little extra because we did kind of steal it and we did get it blown up," he said, still with that sheepish smile on his face. "Well, if he insisted..." "Thank you," she said. "Thank you," he said. And then they stood there for a long, awkward moment. "I'm sorry you got caught up in all this," he finally said. He told me you made him a sandwich." "It seemed like a good idea at the time," she said, squirming a little, because, in retrospect, that had been an insane thing to do. But Captain America was smiling at her. "Thank you," he said. "And thank you for, you know, not calling the police." "Yeah, well," Carolyn said. She took a deep breath. It wasn't technically any of her business, but he'd kind of made it her business, a little, when he'd broken into her apartment, right? "Is he okay?" Cap looked down, and suddenly his face was very serious. "He will be," he finally said, firmly. and she had to look away from the desperate hope in his eyes. "Anyway, thank you, and I'm sorry," he said again, and then he was gone, and she was standing there, looking down at the check in her hands, laughing a little, shaky, incredulous. She double-locked the door and put the chain on, the way she always did now. Maybe she'd called Sophie. Why had they ever lost contact in the first place, anyway? They'd sworn to stay best friends forever when they'd graduated high school. Life got busy, seemed such a threadbare excuse compared to whatever must have happened to put Captain America and Bucky Barnes on opposite side of a fight to the death. She looked at the door again, thinking of the captain's sad, hopeful eyes, the way Bucky had clung to him in the end. Good luck, she thought. And then she picked up the phone. The end.